Matthew chapter 14. And since we're dealing with the hand of Christ tonight, it's not too hard to know our text for this evening. Verse 31, Matthew 14, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, that is, caught Peter, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? According to Matthew's Gospel, this is now the second storm that the disciples had experienced while they were on the Sea of Galilee. The other storm is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 8. There, in verse 24, Matthew 8, verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. The Lord Jesus was asleep in the ship. There, you look at Christ asleep in the ship in the midst of the storm. You have an example of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Because the disciples couldn't understand how the Lord could be fast asleep in the midst of the storm. That's the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. And here the disciples now in chapter 14 of Matthew are experiencing another storm. So in a relatively short space of time, the disciples had to contend with two storms while they were at sea. No doubt, as fishermen, there have been in other storms, but not recorded here in the Gospel. But with two recorded. When you think of it, it's not so typical of being in the sea of life. When storms come our way from time to time. Because we know God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathway all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. And in each of the storms recorded in Matthew, that's what the disciples experienced. For while they were in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, verse 24, it may have appeared that they were facing the storm and striving and rowing through the storm, battling against the storm all on their own. But that was not true. That was not so. For the disciples had the Lord praying for them. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them. And so there is the Lord in the mountain, and down below him in the sea, you have the disciples struggling against the waves and against the storm. But the Lord was praying for them. And so when we go through the storms of life, always remember we're not going through them alone. We have one in the glory who is praying for us. Yes, the Lord was praying for them. And then we see in the verse 25 the Savior's pathway unto them in the storm. In the verse 25 and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The Lord sees us when we are going through the storms of life, and He will come to us in our darkest hour. Verse 25 tells us it was the fourth watch of the night. It was night. It was dark. And there those disciples were rowing and rowing against the storm, and the winds were contrary unto them. Everything seemed to be against them. Notice the Lord came to His disciples in a way in which they did not expect. Walking on the sea. So with us, the Lord will often come to our aid and to our assistance in a way that we least expect. But it is what took place when the Savior came to the disciples that night that we want to consider. Here we have another example of the hand of Christ. The hand of Christ coming to the aid of one of the Lord's disciples. For we read, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, caught Peter, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here we have the hand of Christ coming to the aid of Peter when he suffered that sinking feeling. One, first of all, tonight to consider the Savior's presence in the storm. The Savior's presence in the storm. The Lord came to His disciples in the fourth watch of the night. That would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and came to them walking on the sea. Notice first of all here, the Savior's walk. Whoever heard of such a thing? Whoever heard of a man walking on the sea? We would say, impossible. And so it is. But we're not talking about any ordinary man. We're talking about the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Lord is walking on the sea as if it was dry land. But let us remember that all things are created by Him, and all things that He has created are under His control. Then the disciples discover that in the previous storm there we mentioned in Matthew 8, when they went and they awoke the Lord and said, carest thou not that we perish? And the Savior stood up and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. And we read, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The wind and the sea obey him. Matthew 8 verse 27. And here, even though the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, that mattered not to the Lord Jesus. Still, He came to the disciples walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. We mentioned many times, one word can make all the difference. And here we read then, In verse 25 and 26, twice we are told that the Lord came unto them. Verse 25, he went unto them walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. How often are these words misquoted? How often do people talk about the Lord walking on water? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus walked on the sea. It was Peter who walked on the water. But Christ walked on the sea. And that makes a great difference. Because it didn't matter what sea or where the sea was or where on the sea he walked, he was still able to work that miracle. Because he is the master of the seas. That's what we sang about. We sang about the Lord this evening. He's the master of the seas. Peter walked on water. Peter could only walk on that stretch of water between the ship and where the Lord was. It was limited. Ah, but Christ, wherever he walks, there's no limit to where he walks. Psalm 93, verse 4. There we read, the Lord on high is mightier than the voice of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And that's it. That's what we want to remember. There was a storm raging at this time. It's not as if the Lord walked on the water when it was perfectly calm. No. There was a storm raging, but that made no difference to the Lord. The Lord on high is mightier than the voice of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And that is something to remember. When in the storms of life we feel that we're sinking beneath the waves, even as David did, we have a Savior who's the master of the seas. Turn to Psalm 69. Here's David. And David experienced that sinking feeling. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. There David had that sinking feeling. Sinking in deep waters where the floods overflow me. Go down the psalm. Verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. And of course, what the Lord did for Peter, the Lord did for David. Saved them from sinking down into the deep waters. He who is the master of the seas will come to our aid in the midst of our storms. As well as the Savior's walk, we have the Savior's word. When the disciples saw the Lord walking on the sea, we are told, verse 26, they cried out for fear. But the Lord sought to calm their fears with a word for them at that time. Verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Amazing. In the midst of the storm, they're frightened. And here the Lord said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. You don't need to be afraid, the Lord is saying. The Savior's word. Oh, how often the storms of life have you received a word from the Lord that has brought peace to our own hearts. We've gone to the Scriptures and we've prayed, Lord, I need a word. And maybe in our daily reading we've come to that word. And it's a word as though it was written just specifically for us at that time. And how the word that the Lord gave to the disciples that night brought peace and calm to their hearts. And how often have we been comforted by a word from the Lord in the midst of a storm in life. But notice carefully what the Lord actually said to his fearful disciples. Yea, he said, be of good cheer. Or, words there mean, take courage. Then he told them why they should take courage. He said, it is I, be not afraid. It is I. Those words, it is I, are the words I am. Be not afraid. I am. The incommunicable name of the Lord God Jehovah. Why would the disciples be afraid? Jehovah was standing beside them. Jehovah was there with them in the midst of the storm. Remember what the Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. Now we see why the disciples should be of good cheer. Now we see why the disciples should not be afraid. Because the one who came to them that night in the darkness, walking on the sea, was none other than the great I am. The Lord God Jehovah. And that's who Christ is. Why fear the storm, the winds, the seas, the darkness, when the great I Am is by our side? And hasn't he told us, I will never leave thee. No, never. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13 verse 5. So we have considered the Savior's walk and the Savior's word. Then we have the Savior's will. Savior's will. Upon seeing the Lord Jesus walking on the sea and upon hearing his word, Simon Peter then wanted to venture out on the water too. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. The Lord just said one word. Come. regarding the Savior's will, here we notice the desire of Peter. Having seen the Lord walking on the sea, Peter wanted to do the same and said, "Let me come unto thee, walk on the water." Now Peter has faced a lot of criticism because he got out of the boat and he saw the waves and he began to sink, and people have criticized Peter. Well, I would be slow to criticize him. None of the other disciples wanted to do that. They kept, as it were, in the safety of the ship. They didn't want to venture out, but Peter did. You have to commend him for his desire. And what was his desire? Think of it. He wanted to do what the Lord did. In other words, he wanted to be like Christ. He wanted to be like his master. His master was walking on the sea, and Simon Peter wanted to at least walk on the water. He wanted to be like Christ, his master. Now, you can't blame a man for that. You can't blame an individual for wanting to be like Christ. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. And here in this desire of Peter, he wanted to be like the Savior. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be like Christ. And Peter certainly set his sights high. Stepping out of the boat, walking on water. He set his sights high, didn't he? Again, you can't blame a man for setting his sights high. And he wanted here to be like the Lord Jesus. And ought we then also not to be like Peter in this regard? To be like the Lord. You look at Paul. Talk about a man who endeavored to be like Christ. Didn't he pray that I might know him? He was an aged missionary when he prayed those words. That I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wanted to be like Christ. And what did he say to the church at Philippi? There he said, in Philippians 1, and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. As Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. I just want to live as Christ. Just wanted to be like the Lord. That was Peter's desire. Let it always be our desire. To be like Christ. As well as the desire, there is the directive. The Lord just uttered one word when Peter expressed his desire to walk in the water. The Lord, verse 29, simply said, "Come." So the Lord encouraged Peter in his venture out of the ship and onto the water. Of course, it was nothing to do with Peter's ability to walk on the water. The Lord gave him the ability to do that. You think of this portion of scripture, and it's filled with different miracles. You may not notice them immediately, but here's a miracle. The miracle of Christ walking on the water, or on the sea. The miracle of Peter walking on the water. The miracle of Christ calming the storm. And the Lord simply said to Peter, come. As he said, Peter had set his sights high. To step out of that ship, to be like the Lord Jesus, he wanted to walk on water. And the Lord said, come. See? When we endeavor to be like the Lord Jesus, we will get every encouragement from the Savior. He'll encourage us all the way. We want to venture forth in something for the Lord. If it's according to the Lord's will, the Lord will encourage us all the way. He'll not leave us to go out on that venture alone. And here the Lord encouraged Peter. And here the Lord enabled him to accomplish what he wanted to do. We're told that he walked on the water. So you have the desire of Peter. You see the directive for Peter. That brings us to the distress of Peter. The teaching from these words have been well delivered over the years. Peter was doing well until he took his eyes off the Lord. Isn't that what he started out to do? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he's looking at Christ. From the ship to the Lord, he's looking directly at him. Then we read, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. There's Peter has that sinking feeling. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You look there at that incident, and we see how quickly things changed for Peter. He did so well, stepping out of the boat, walking on the water, and then he got his eyes off the Savior. He was walking toward him, looking toward him, and then he took his eyes off the Lord, and he looked on the sea. And he began to sink. We know that in the Lord's work, we dare not take our eyes off Christ. We know that no matter what we're involved in, we do not take our eyes off the Lord. If we do, we'll get that sinking feeling ourselves. We read there over in the Psalm, where David felt he was sinking below the wheel. Now here was Peter. Now he was afraid. Even though he had been told, the great I Am is beside him. Why was he afraid? Even though he had seen how he had controlled the wind and the sea in the previous storm. Matthew 8 verse 27. But when he looked away from Christ, and only could see the raging seas around him, began to sink, and we'll do the same. We'll become fearful if we turn away from the Lord. No matter what the Lord has done before, as the Lord had calmed the sea before, still Peter was afraid. And no matter what the Lord has done before for us, No matter what is said, we get our eyes off him, and we'll get that sinking feeling as well. We consider the Savior's presence in the storm. And then we have the Savior's power in the storm. Let us not be, as I've said before, too critical about Peter. We've all taken our eyes off the Lord at some time or another ourselves. And we have then also done what Peter did and beginning to sink, cry, Lord, save me. And just the Lord responded to the cry of Peter, as he has often every time responded to our cry. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was doing so well, but he took his eyes off the Savior. And the Lord then immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. There's the hand of Christ at work again. Notice the responding hand of Christ. What do we read? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. The hand of Christ went out immediately in response to Peter's cry. This is so typical of the Savior. When he hears the cry of the distressed soul, he responds immediately. That's who he is. It was the natural response of the loving Savior when he saw his disciple going down and heard the cry of his disciple, Lord, save me. Immediately, he stretched forth his hand and caught him. Likewise, when a poor lost soul is sinking beneath the waves of a life of sin, and that soul cries out, Lord, save me. Immediately, that soul is saved. That soul is saved. The Lord's response will be the same. It will be immediately. He loves his saints and he loves sinners. And when they cry, Lord, save me, he'll respond immediately. And wherever or whenever or whoever cries out, Lord, save me, the Savior's response is the same. There's never, no, never been a sinking soul that has cried out, Lord, save me, has ever perished beneath the waves of sin. Never. And they've never had to wait when they cried, Lord, save me. Those words have hardly passed from their lips. And the Lord has reached forth his hand of salvation and caught them. And the hand of salvation, the nail-pierced hand, has saved them from going down into the depths of hell, never to return. Lord, save me. Psalm 34, verse 6. The verse that was read to me the night that I was saved. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Mark the words. This poor man cried, the Lord heard and the Lord saved. Immediately. What did we sing tonight? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me, thou safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one else but Christ could help. Love lifted me. As well as the responding hand of Christ, with the reliable hand of Christ. In this series of looking at the hand of Christ, we've certainly seen that his hand is reliable. Often when the Lord stretched forth his hand, it was to touch someone and heal them. But when the Savior stretched forth his hand to Peter, it wasn't so much to heal them, we're told. He immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. The word caught means to take hold of. And there you have Peter. He's been doing well, walking towards the Savior, walking on the water, and then he takes his eyes of the Savior and he sees the billows and the waves around him, and he begins to sink and he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately the Savior stretched forth his hand and caught him. And when the Lord caught Peter, Peter was saved. Peter was saved. He was safer now than as if he was standing on dry ground. He was safer now in the hands of Christ than he would be standing on the rock of Gibraltar. He was safe in the hands of the Lord. Reliable hands of Christ. They'll never fail you. Isn't that what we noted a few weeks ago in John chapter 10? And there in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man and italics. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Peter was in the hand of Christ that night. The Lord had taken hold of Peter. And the Lord says, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. For I and my Father are one. Ah, you look at Peter, and there he was, in the hand of Christ. He was safe. He was safe. No wind, no storm, no force, no power could pluck Peter out of the hand of Christ. Abide in the Lord, secure in his control. 'Tis life everlasting begun to pluck from his hand the weakest trembling soul. That never, ever can be done. Never, ever can be done. And now Peter was in the hand of Christ, and no storm and no wind and no tempest was strong enough to pluck Peter out of the hand of Christ. Boy, haven't we a great Savior. As well as the responding hand, the reliable hand, we have the rescuing hand of Christ. The hand that rescued Peter that day is the hand that's still rescuing perishing souls. And the Lord rescued his disciples from sinking beneath the waves, even though the Lord gently rebuked Peter afterwards. Notice, Peter cried out, said, "Lord, save me." Notice the Lord didn't rebuke Peter then. He didn't rebuke Peter then about being fearful and about having so little faith. No. Likewise, when a soul sinking deep in sin, and they cry out to the Lord doesn't rebuke them and say, "Well, I have called you for years and you haven't come." No. When that sinking soul says, "Lord, save me," the Lord saves them there and then. No questions asked. And here he saves Peter, stretching forth his hand and caught Peter. And when they had Peter saved, it was then he gently rebuked Peter and said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? Sure didn't I tell you? The one standing beside you here at the boat was the I Am. Have you not experienced what I did in the storm previous? Didn't I stand up in that boat and rebuke the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm? Peter, why did you doubt? The Lord came in grace and rescued Peter in spite of his failure. And he has come in grace and rescued us. In spite of our failures, he's rescued us anyway. He's lifted us up anyway. And like the disciples, because in the previous storm, in Matthew 8, the Lord said the same thing. The Lord gently, let's look at it, Matthew 8. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Heard it again. "O ye of little faith." Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Peter, there's no need for you to fear. But what the Lord said at the first storm, he said it again, "Oh, be a little faith." And sure, aren't we like Peter? How often do we need to be told and reminded, have faith in God? To consider the Savior's presence in the storm, the Savior's power in the storm, and the Savior praised in the storm. The Savior, having caught the sinking disciple Peter, the Lord and Peter, we're told in verse 32, got into the ship. Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, look what happened. When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I was going to say, it's not amazing, but really it's not. It's because of the one who got into the ship. Here you have, first of all, the arrival. Peter was sinking. The Lord caught him. And he has arrived back in the ship with the Lord. The Lord got him into the ship, and what happened? the wind ceased. There was a great calm. There was peace. Now there was peace. Isn't that what the Lord does? No matter where he goes, the Lord Jesus always brings peace. Entered into the ship and there was peace. Because that's who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. Hasn't he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the Lord brought peace that night, not only to those disciples, but to that sea. John tells us in John 6 verse 21, recording the same miracle, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now when you think of it, that's what the Lord had told the disciples. The Lord told them they would be at the land. He already told them that, no matter what happened between the Lord sending away the multitude. Look there at verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Listen. And to go before him onto the other side. The Lord didn't say anything about perishing halfway across. Go before me to the other side. We'll meet at the other side. And so the Lord says, we'll be at the other side. In other words, it didn't matter what took place, how severe the storm in between, they would be at the other side, the Lord and the disciples. The Lord never fails to keep his word. No matter how many storms come our way, we'll reach the other side. The arrival and the adoration. For we're told, verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They had come now to realize, in the previous storm, they'd simply say, what manner of man is this? But they've gained a little more knowledge about Christ. Now they say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. As we go through the storms of life, we'll gain a little more knowledge about the Lord. Our knowledge of him will increase. That sinking feeling. Well, here was a story that had a happy ending. They went immediately to the other side. I believe that was another miracle. It was immediate. Didn't take them 2 or 3 hours to get to the other side. It was immediate. That was a miracle of the Lord. Took them through the wave, the sea, and they're at the other side immediately. That sinking feeling. Peter will never forget that. They'll never forget what the Lord did and how the Lord stretched forth his hand and called him. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O dear loving God, we thank thee for thy Son, for the one who is the great I Am, the one who came to those disciples in the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea, because he's the master of the sea. He's the master. He put those waves under his feet as if he was walking on a highway. And how he encouraged Peter to do what he wanted to do. We thank thee, dear Lord and the Savior, we have a great encourager. Lord, bless the word tonight. And to any listening who are sinking, Lord, and feel they're sinking beneath their troubles and their woes. Oh Lord, may they cry out, Lord, save me. Those that are sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, may they cry out tonight, Lord, save me. And the hand of salvation will respond immediately. Dear Lord, write the word upon our hearts tonight. And oh Lord, be with us. Again, we pray throughout this week. Keep us safe and well and healthy. Keep the plague from our dwellings. And again, Lord, remember all the frontline workers. Pray, our God, thou wilt hedge them about. And those that are laid aside, draw near to them and touch them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.